space, our creation is a great way to make a difference. Not only does it give us a more healthier distance between us and technology and data collection, it also gives us time to reflect on our world and our place in it. How do we feel about it, and what do we have to say? Even more, it can create community, more dialogue, and collective change at any scale. Thank you to Kalia for showing me that and sharing that space with me. Up next for a music break, we have Golden Sun Goddess by Jesse Davis and Odana by Elanis Mbomsoin. I've tied many bows on a lot of the conversations that we had, so I just want to take some time to sort of thank CGSF for this opportunity. Thank you for giving me the platform and the space to be able to do a project like this. Thank you to Kimberly Snyder for helping me with recruitment efforts, even though things often don't go as they expect them to, which is totally fine. Thank you to my professors for teaching me basically all I use to make this show. Thank you to, thank you to Kay, my professor in my internship class. And thank you to everyone that either has listened to this, is going to listen to this, or is bugging me to send me them the link to this. And lastly, I'd like to thank the lovely, lovely woman who even my parents forgot her name, who when I was in my mom's stomach gave me my spirit name of Manukmi. And I have yet to make plans to do another naming ceremony for these next stages of my life as an adult now. But for as long as I see fit to hold this name as my own, I would love to thank her in any way that I can, despite my lack of knowledge of her to this day. And with that, I think this is the end of Manukmi as it is right now. So once again, Chimigwech, for joining me today and joining me any other day and maybe joining me in a future day. This is Caitlin, Terrell, signing off.
If you want to explore unique perspectives that are rarely expressed in mainstream media, you are listening to the right channel. This is CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC.
This is Nicole Hines with CJSF 90.1 FM, and I'm here with Fake Knot Artistic Director, choreographer, and performer Ralph Escamillan to chat about the world premiere of My House, which is a performance celebrating ballroom culture, familiar bond, and love and support. So, Ralph, thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I am so good. The sun is shining in these Lower Mainland streets, mm-hmm. So I'm very happy to see it.
People are out today.
They are out today. They were out yesterday, too, so I'm here for it. Okay, so my first question to you, I really, really want to get into talking about My House.
Yeah, so My House is a new project under my company, Fake Knot. I'm a dance company based in the city, really focused on costume, textile, and the body in the last few years. And I'm also a founder of the pioneer of the Vancouver ballroom kiki scene.
Okay.
So there was a big interest of bringing my two worlds together. Actually, my first dance piece I ever created was called Hinky Punk in 2018 and kind of addressed my very early entrance into ballroom, the idea of competing, being in a battle, being in a ball, and the kind of the stress of that. And then, so this work, almost 10 years, I mean, I guess 8 years since that.
Wow.
I've come back to ballroom now with all this knowledge I've had of building the scene here, founding a Kiki house, also being a mother of a Canadian mainstream house, House of Basquiat, Kiki House and House of Asalia. While also helping lead and support the new leaders of the community. It was really important for me to want to share to a new audience these kind of familial bonds that ballroom is really known for, but I think it's kind of like the unspoken hero of the culture. So much of what people see about ballroom and voguing is like the glitz and the glam and what you see on the floor, on the runway, on the clip, on your socials, but so much of what gets us there is the family structure, the mother, father, the parental figures, your prince, princess, your godparents, all these kind of home mechanisms that help bring these moments forward in at a ball.
Okay, so I know a little bit about ballroom culture, but for somebody who doesn't know anything, how would you describe it? Because you did mention like the familial bond and sort of, you know, the mom, the dad, like there is that structure of the house. Mm-hmm, how would you describe ballroom culture to someone who is hearing it for the first time?
So ballroom is a culture that comes from the Black, Latinx, trans, and queer communities of Harlem, founding in the 60s. So historically, there's a tangent of it, of course, from the drag community. Crystal LaBeija famously was outraged by not winning in the documentary The Queen. So if you know, you know. Look at her makeup. It's terrible. And she started her own Black and Brown drag balls, which were really like queer, like drag pageants. So the format of ballroom today kind of continues that legacy of the pageant structure, but unlike Miss Universe, whatever, where everyone does the same everyone does a category, in ballroom, all the categories are dispersed as individual events in itself. And then I think kind of really allows for different types of queerness to be celebrated. So it's not just about looking like wearing the evening gown, the swimsuit gown, da da da. Maybe like for me in the ballroom scene, I walk Butch Queen Vogue Femme, which is like the dancing category. Mm-hmm. Butch Queen is the alias for a gay cis man, mm-hmm. and Vogue Femme is a style of voguing. And I also walk Small Boys European Runway, which is very much like Versace, Naomi Campbell walking runway.
Okay.
And that perpetuates now until this day. And yeah, you see it on TV, you see it on everywhere now.
Love, love, love it. Now, My House debuts at the Dance Center on June 19th and 20th for 8 p.m. shows both nights. And I'm curious, what are you most excited about when you think about My House?
Honestly, I'm just excited to bring amazing talent of the ballroom scene around the country into a room. We have an icon, Snoopy, now the mother of the House of FUBU. She just debuted her FUBU house in Toronto, shout out. So she'll be in town from Toronto. Father Jaws Siriano, who's also from Toronto, and legendary Besos 007 from Montreal will be the dancers in this work. Princess Peggy, Pink Lady, is on the mic. And my own daughter, Simone Vesalio, will also be DJing throughout the work. And I guess what I'm most curious about and excited around all of that is bringing ballroom audiences into the room, mixing them with the traditional, or maybe the accustomed dance center audience, you know, which maybe doesn't know anything about ballroom, mm-hmm. But hoping that the work can bridge, you know, these two communities together. And because a lot of work that I'm curious about and what I do and everything is really about bridging and connecting. And as I think it's the only way we can understand and get to know each other and care about each other more.
Absolutely. And I'm really excited. I plan on attending. I am super, super excited. I feel like your answer kind of segues into the next question that I have, which probably has a similar answer, but I'm going to ask it anyways. Why do you feel that my house is so important for us as the general, you know what I mean, Lower Mainland folks? Right? Why should we come out and see My House?
I think so often we forget how connection and being in space together is truly powerful and like life-changing. Mm-hmm. And I really hope that by people seeing this work, they are reminded of that and also question their ideas of family and whether it be biological or chosen, and how important they are in how they can transform our lives, and how to nurture those relationships and that, yeah, you have to come at it with care, that there's nuance and that without those support systems, like or maybe not that without them, but that we are never really on our own.
Right.
That there are always people around us that want and see it for us and want to push us and want to care and love us.
Love, love, love that. Now, we can get tickets by, I guess, visiting the Dance Center's website.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to make sure that I include that website in the show notes.
And there's also an exhibit happening downstairs at the foyer of the Dance Center until Vancouver Pride that parallels the show. So there are archived objects, costumes, and a documentary actually by Simone Vesalio too, showcasing the ballroom scene. So
awesome.
Yeah, because similar to a family, you have like, you know, your hand-me-downs, you know,
yeah.
A dress goes here, it goes here. And so one of the parts of the wall is a didactic showing some of the history of some of the garments. And also we have an adjacent talk series, kind of like not as developed podcast, kind of sharing the history, the different familial structures. So we had a talk with legendary Twisted and Tamar Miyake Mugler. They're the mother father of the House of Miyake Mugler, but the mother and father role. Mm-hmm. We just had a talk recently in April with the prince and princesses of the scene. And later this June, we have a talk with the godparents of the Canadian ballroom scene.
I love it. Now, before I let you go, you are the founder of Fake Knot. Would you like to just give us a little inside, you know, peek as to your company?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So Fake Knot has been kind of an accumulation of all my training and my experience as a dancer, more formally founding it in 2018 after my first work. I come from many, many different dance backgrounds. So I started in breakdancing, got into contemporary dance and all the other street dance styles. Okay. Also do film and TV and all this stuff, and now learn flamenco.
Oh.
So Fake Knot has become really my way of funneling my curiosities and my multiple selves through this kind of alias. And more recently in the last few years, and I guess always, I love clothing. I love textile. I've been really anchored around like the visual aesthetic of how costume can create choreographic narrative, whether that be through an anthropologic route or a really tactile route, like my paper dress piece called Croaky. And or just like fashion, like Janet Jackson costume, you know, so
quite
a range. That's kind of my world, and it's been really interesting seeing it shift as I shift, as many artists do, and but also become more finite as I keep moving forward.
Yes. And how can we all get connected with you or Fake Knot just to see maybe some of the other projects that you might have in future?
Yeah. So all my Instagrams are pretty open. So if you go to Ralph Escamillan on my Instagram page, those are hyperlinked in my bio with all my different multiple selves. You can learn more about Fake Knot at fakeknot.com. We have a website with all of our past works and new works coming up. Mm-hmm. And I'm always down to reply to an email or a DM. So don't ever be afraid to message or hit
connect.
Me
I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. And before I let you go, is there anything that we have missed? Because, you know, we're still here. So just want to make sure.
Yeah, I guess I would shout out a ball is only a ball because of its community. And the show that you're watching with My House is really going to be my viewpoint of ballroom. But if you want to see a ball in the Vancouver scene in July, which is our Vancouver Ballroom Weekend, annual Ballroom Weekend, July 24th, we have the Vancouver Kiki Ballroom Alliance of the Year Awards, which is on the Friday. We have My Posh Ball, which is one of only three mainstream balls in Canada on the 25th, that's at the Pearl.
Okay.
And then we'll have a workshop series on the 26th here at the Dance Center as well. So that's a big weekend. So if you want to know about ballroom and watch it for real, with the money, with the cash,
head
out then.
Ralph, thank you so much for joining me. You have been a pleasure. I am really, really looking forward to coming out and seeing My House. So thank you.
And see you in June.
Yes, definitely, definitely. And to everyone, My House debuts June 19th at the Dance Center as part of the Global Dance Connection series, which features exciting dance works by artists from across Canada. Thank you again, Ralph.
Thank you.
You can deny all the things I've seen, all the things I've discovered, but not for much longer. Because too many others know what's happening out there.
I want to believe.
Hi, this is David Duchovny, and you're listening to CJSF 90.1 Burnaby.
Yeah. Hi, my name is Taku. I want to say shout out to all the raccoons on campus. You're listening to CGSF 90.1 FM on Burnaby.
This is Bird Note. The Juan Fernandez Islands off the coast of Chile are home to many unique birds. Perhaps the most vibrant is a critically endangered hummingbird called the Juan Fernandez Firecrown. The firecrown's lustrous feathers almost glow in the sunlight. The male's bodies are a fiery orange, and their crowns gleam in shades of cinnamon to golden yellow. Females wear cooler tones, with green backs, white bellies, and their own gorgeous crowns of shimmering blues and purples. Measuring more than 4 inches long from beak to tail, the Juan Fernandez firecrown is hefty for a hummingbird. To conserve energy while feeding, the birds often hang upside down on flowers rather than hovering in place. But when courting an eligible female, the males still give it their all with an impressive flight display. Unfortunately, habitat loss and the spread of invasive species in the Juan Fernandez Islands threaten to extinguish the firecrown's brilliance. These hummingbirds are only found on Robinson Crusoe Island, where no more than a few thousand remain. Today, conservationists with Oikonos ecosystem knowledge are working to restore the island's native forests and to ensure a bright future for the Juan Fernandez firecrown. For Bird Note, I'm Ariana Rimmel.
How much do